Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And we know that there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I stay excited, more especially because we are studying God's Holy Word. And tonight we are still in the book of Proverbs. And you know the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And within the chronicles of the book are so many terse sayings that if we apply them correctly, we cannot go wrong this side of eternity perfecting our Christianity. Now, as I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we'll have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time again and thank all of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. And I appreciate so much you giving them to me. Now, as the theme for the show suggests, are you standing on the promises of God or of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. That's Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. The promise is perfection. My precious brothers and sisters, the promise is perfection, that you give all of your attention to the Lord God himself, and you will receive that. Jesus again said, and he looked around about him, which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. This is taken from Mark chapter 3, verse 34 and 35. And again, the promise is that you want to be a part of Jesus, the best part of Jesus, then you do the will of his Father, and you will receive that position. Jesus said again, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That's taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. So the promise is that you're going to receive if you do. You hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? You will receive if you do. And that's a promise from Jesus Christ. So again, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ? Now, before we get started, I always like to emphasize the fact, and this is a critical fact, the Bible is written in code. My brothers and sisters, it's written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, in symbols, and other ways. If you think that it's just verbatim, which it is not in most instances. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is why we're here this evening, and that is why we'll continue to be together as long as the Lord will allow, studying and learning together. Okay, let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 21. We're going to look at one verse, and that verse is 27. And just as I mentioned in previous classes concerning the book of Proverbs, the instruction is basically identical to the scripture text. So this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination to God. Did you hear me that, brothers and sisters? The sacrifice of a wicked person is an abomination to God. And so the text says the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? So that is so significant, and we know how that can impact. Well, we know what it did to Israel. It turned Israel inside out. So let's go to Isaiah. We're going to open up for amplification. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet, he even gives this information concerning that, because why we are, as people, trying to dissuade God or fool God, if you will, which we can't do. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 through, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He knows what we're doing. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So that is when you know that you're offering up in error. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, none nor any plead for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. My precious brothers and sisters, the prophet said it more eloquently, more specifically. That is why sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination of God. You offer to God something that is impure, then guess what? That's abomination to him. Now we're going to go to our 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 20 through 23, and that is going to give us a comparison and the agreement with the New Testament on the abomination and the sacrifice. I see we're at our first commercial break. Let's take that break, and then we'll come back and complete the lesson.
Yeah. Speak to that person that feels like they lost a worth that they value. This is a dollar bill. Now, if I go to the store and there's something for 90 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, if I go to the store and there's something for 85 cents and after tax, it ends up being 96 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, what if I ball the dollar bill up? Think about it now. Like, I just balled the dollar bill up. Like, so it can't be worth a dollar now. It's probably worth, like, 95 cents, right? How much do you think it's worth? A dollar. Listen, y'all got to pay attention. I just balled it up. So clearly, it's not worth a dollar anymore. All right, so maybe, what if I step on it? What if I stomp it? I just stomped it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 65 cents, 68 cents? It's still worth a dollar? Okay, what if I ball it up, what if I stomp on it, and then I put it in the trash can, and it's in here with some trash, and it's around some beer, and some gum, and a bunch of other nasty stuff, and some guy off the street pulls the dollar out, unfolds it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 82 cents? At least 92 cents? It's, okay, all right, so what if I ball it up, what if I step on it, what if I put it in trash, and then, watch this, I tear it in half. Think about it now, right? How much is it worth now? A dollar? I could tape it? Whoa. Wait. Wait a second. I just balled it up. I just stepped on it. I put it in trash. I pulled it out. Then I tore it in half. And you mean to tell me I can pick the dollar up, I can wipe it off, and I can put some tape around it, and it's still worth a dollar? Then why? If this dollar doesn't lose its worth and its value, then why do you feel like you've lost your worth and value? Because many of you feel like you've been stepped on, you feel like you've been pushed aside, you feel like you've been abandoned, you feel like you've been talked about, you feel like you've been abused, like someone took from you, someone hurt you, somebody took advantage of you, and deep down inside your core, you feel like you've lost some of your value. And I am here to tell you today that this dollar still has worth and value. Because there are some men years ago who put value over this life and said that no matter what happens to it, it can still be taped back together. It can still be wiped off. And I am here to tell you that you were created and you're born and you're here and you have life and you have purpose and you have value. And though you've gone through some hard times and though you've experienced some depression and you might be wanting to hurt yourself or you might want to give up, I am here to tell you you still got worth and value. And there is nothing that can happen that can take your worth and your value away. So what you gotta do now is you gotta pick yourself up. You gotta dust yourself off and you gotta keep moving.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we could continue with this particular lesson, our instruction, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 through 23. This is Paul rehearsing to the Corinthians about sacrifice being an abomination. Listen to what Paul said about it. And he said, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. This is the key to realizing what Paul is speaking of, and he's actually speaking of sacrificing animal meat. But in this instance, we expand upon the thought of what he's saying, that anything that you offer to the Lord, you have to be genuinely offering it to the Lord and not because of some tradition or some the way that men are teaching you to do things. This is key, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God hates idolatry, and that's more than just physical, even spiritual idolatry, meaning that it could mean something that is worth more to you than it would be more physical to you than you put in front of God, like, you know, a spouse or, you know, some type of a worldly thing. So be very careful on what you concentrate on and on what you pay attention to, because it could be in conflict with God. And that could even go as far as something that you desire, okay? Meaning it could be good looks or a new job or more money. I mean, there's so many things that could be considered an abomination to God. In fact, anything that is opposing God is an abomination. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Move your, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 21. We're going to look at another verse, verse 30 in Proverbs chapter 21. And listen, the instruction and the text is almost identical. This is the instruction. This is what I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. And that's the text as well as the instruction I want you to keep in mind. And listen to why. Job amplifies this in Job chapter 38. This is what God is telling Job because of Job's sadidiness, if you will, Job's righteousness. This is what God told Job in Job chapter 38, verse 1 and 2. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and thou answer me. And Job 16 through 22 gives the completing of the thought. Hast thou entered into the spring of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou opened the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all, where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the path to the house thereof? Knowest thou it, because thou wasn't then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? And, of course, Job is being chided by God, because God is showing that there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel that can match him. Now, let's go to our New Testament compliment. We're going to go to the book of Revelations. Book of Revelations chapter 4. And listen to what it says in the end time concerning this. Listen to what it says, my brothers and sisters, what the Spirit is writing to the church. And after this, chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the voice was opened, and the voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And verse 8 through 11 completes the thought. And the four beasts had each of them six wings above him, and there were eyes, and there were full of eyes within, and they rested not day nor night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lived forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. and cast their crowns before the throne and say, listen, my brothers and sisters out there, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. My precious brothers and sisters, there's nothing above Almighty God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He's omnipresent, and he is ubiquitous. He is all in all, everywhere at the same time. And that is what I want you to understand. God is the Almighty One. There is no other but God. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Back to Proverbs chapter 22 this time. We're going to look at verse 2 in Proverbs chapter 22. And again, the instruction and the text itself are identically the same or quite close to the same. I'm going to read the instruction first. The rich and poor meet together. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? This is so significant for us to understand. The rich and the poor meet together. And this is what the text says. Chapter 22, verse 2. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And we're going to go to Psalms 49, and we're going to see how King David put it in Psalms 49. He's going to amplify it for us. Psalms 49 puts it on this wise. Hear this. This is what King David, or King, this is one of the sons of Korah is saying in Psalms 49. King David did not write this particular psalm. It was a son of Korah. He said, hear this, O ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Verse 6 continues the thought. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Verse 10 through 8 completes the thought. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Neither, nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This, their way, is their folly. Yet their posterity approved their sayings, Selah. And Selah means to pause and to consider and think about this. You hear what the psalmist is saying, my brothers and sisters, that it doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, or indifferent. It's all the same in the end. And this is, again, how the New Testament complement puts it. We're going to go back to Revelation chapter 7 and listen to what the Revelator is telling the churches. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 17. And listen to what it says. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, all kindreds, all people, all tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which liveth forever and ever. I see that I've passed my second pause. Let's take the break.
Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience means to comply with the law, an order or request, or to submit to another's authority. While sacrifice means to give up something that is precious or a jewel, something that you believe is worthy. But what we do in this world is sometimes we misunderstand that a sacrifice is not the same as being obedient. See, if we were obedient to the process of achieving a goal, See, if we were obedient to the process of being who we need to be, it would have never been viewed as a sacrifice, and confusion would have never taken place. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And when you're being obedient to what you need to be obedient to, whether that's being obedient to your school, being obedient to obtaining success, being obedient to achieving your goal, when you understand that you're being obedient, you're not sacrificing, what you're doing is you're releasing the notion to become a voluntary victim. You see, people who think that they sacrifice, what they tend to do is they tend to believe that they're giving up time with their family, that they're giving up sleep. But it's simply you following the blueprint of what you said you wanted to do. See, when you submit to another authority, that's being obedient. See, for me, I want to be obedient to success, and success requires me to do certain things. It means that I have to stay up late. It means that sometimes I don't get to sleep as much as I want. I don't get to spend time with the people who I always want to spend time with, but I am not sacrificing. I'm being obedient to the process. And you have to be obedient to the process. And before you start to become that volunteer victim that we talked about, understand that you are simply being obedient and you're not sacrificing. There's only been one sacrifice that's ever been made to us here on earth, and that sacrifice came from the Savior. There's nothing that you can ever do to outweigh that sacrifice. And when you understand that that sacrifice that was made for you, obedience is something that you instead, you follow.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the instruction on the rich and poor meet together and what the New Testament says about this, comparing and agreeing. We were reading from Revelation chapter 7. Verse 9 through 17, and we were saying how all of these people, well, I'll start from the beginning. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of nations, of kindreds, of people, of tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with robes and palms in their hands. That means everyone was the same, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto his Lamb. And the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne, all on their faces, and worshiped God. Everyone is going to be in the same boat, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, which are these? What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And which came they? And I said, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It does not matter your status. Therefore they became therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither the sun shall light on their heads any more. For the Lord, the Lamb, which is in the midst of them, shall feed them, shall lead them into the fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. My precious brothers and sisters, the rich and the poor meet together. And that's what this is what I'm trying to get to you in this instruction. And this is what it should mean, that with God, there are no big eyes and no little use. All humanity is made in the same image and likeness of God. And that is what we are so hopeful that God will save. Let's go back to the next instruction. We're going to go back to chapter 22 of Proverbs. We're going to look at verse 3 this time, chapter 22, verse 3. And in chapter 22, verse 3, we're going to I'm going to read the scripture text to you after I give you the instruction. It's a little different, but this is what the instruction says. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. And the scripture text gives just a little bit more to that. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? So you want to be prudent. And this is how the psalmist, King David, put it in Psalms 37. And this is what you want to make sure you are wise in. This is what he said in Psalms 37, verse 1 through 7. Listen, my brothers and sisters, about being prudent. Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prosper in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. My brothers and sisters listening out there, that is the prudent man. Okay, now let's go to the book of James. We're going to compare and agree. The book of James, chapter 3, verse 13. Through 18, and listen to how James writes about this. And this is what we should be concentrating, and it is meaningful, more meaningful for us today. Listen to what James says. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensuous, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without hypocrisy, without partiality. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. My brothers and sisters listening, the prudent man and the prudent woman foresees this and responds to this. And those that don't fall by the wayside. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. I see we're at our next break. Let's take that break and then we will continue.
I want to share a very important philosophy with you today. It's a philosophy I think everyone should hear. Proverbs 6, 8-11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gather its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Here's the five philosophy that we can learn from ants. Ants have no commander. Ants don't need a commander to tell them to get started. They work faithfully and need no outside accountability to keep them doing right and doing the right things. They work hard and will replace their anthill when it gets ruined. Meaning, if you want to apply this in your real life, be proactive, be honest to yourself, and be industrious. Ants plan ahead. Ants think winter all summer long. They store provision in summer They think the clock is running out of time, and they are hurrying to get food back to their hive. Meaning, they hustle hard in advance to secure their future. Ants stay positive, always. Ants remind themselves that winter does not last long. They know they'll soon be out. Meaning, whatever happens in your life right now, it will not last forever. Ants never quit. They only change their approach. If they're going somewhere and you stop them or block their pathway, they'll look for another way up, down, all around. They keep looking till they find another way. Meaning, be learn to embrace struggle and hardship in your life. Be flexible and be like ants who don't quit. Winners are not quitters. Ants always do their best, meaning give your best in everything you do right now. It will always lead you to the greater things and the next level in your life. Thanks for watching this video. Share and subscribe for more amazing inspiration.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete this particular instruction. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. This is how James in the New Testament is telling us how to utilize this. Being prudent, my brothers and sisters, is being wise. And we know that there are two types of wisdom that is prevalent in our lives, or at least there should be. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? At least there should be. Now, the reason I say that is because the knowledge of good and evil has a wisdom associated with it. And the knowledge of everlasting life has another wisdom associated with it. So see, there are two different wisdoms, and that's what James is talking about. Now, if you are stuck with only knowing the knowledge of good and evil, and not the knowledge of everlasting life, then this will not pertain to you because you will not be able to receive it or apply it, because you need to have the wisdom of everlasting life in order to apply it, but at least tells you about it. Now, that's why this prudent individual knows this, because if you have, as James is saying, in verse 14, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensuous, it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. My precious brothers and sisters, the knowledge of good and evil only produces this type of wisdom. The next wisdom that we talk about, it does not produce. That is the one that you need to have. And so that's why Christ and Christianity should be so important in your life for attaining, because without it, you're subjected to what I just read. Only that. And that is where you are stuck in the knowledge of good and evil. But if you receive Christ, and you're wise, as the prudence of this instruction tells us, who is, in verse 13, James says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That's because you know Christ. And this is the end result. This is the wisdom that James is saying from above, but it's actually the wisdom of everlasting life. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, easy to entreat, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That is the wisdom that we receive from the knowledge of everlasting life. And let me give you a quick tidbit on why the position that I just gave you is so significant. Is because in the garden, when man fell, he lost on the ability to receive the knowledge of everlasting life. You remember in the garden, there were at least two trees identified. There were probably more than that, but at least two trees were identified, and it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of the knowledge of everlasting life. And God said, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He did not say they could not eat of the tree of everlasting life. But because they disobeyed God and ate of the wrong tree, God put them out of the garden. And the reason being is because the tree of everlasting life, they would have received purity, peaceableness, and gentleness. They would have been easy to entreat. They would have had mercy and good fruits. They would have been without partiality and without hypocrisy, all of that good attributes for applying and living a good Christian life would have been theirs. That's the difference between the two. That's what I want you to understand. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that a wise man in Christ will not allow himself to get caught up with evil. And I say it that way is because we have the antidote. The antidote is repentance and faithfulness. Because let's face it, all of us are unrighteous. None are clean, no, not one, the Bible teaches us. But Christ came to redeem and the unrighteous. It says, he said in the Gospels, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. So he's given us this ability through repentance and faithfulness to retrieve ourselves from being imperfect. But that is the formula, my brothers and sisters, and that's the one that I want you to take hold of, is that you need, if you do not have, you need the knowledge of everlasting life to overcome that knowledge of good and evil that is in you, causing you so much strife and strain. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs 22. We're going to look at Proverbs 22, and we're going to look at verse 4. And again, as I read this to you, I'm going to, the text is similar or almost identical to the instruction, but it's the instruction I want you to keep in mind. Listen, this is what the instruction says. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honors, and life. Listen to what the text says. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honors, and life. That is so significant to know. And what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to amplify that in the book of Deuteronomy. Before we do, I see, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to see how Moses rehearsed this to Israel. And we're talking about the humility and the fear of the Lord. Listen to what Israel was taught by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through 6. Listen, my brothers and sisters, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe and do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know that what was in thy heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Thy raiments waxed not old unto thee, neither did thy feet swell these 40 years, that thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? To fear the Lord your God with humility will get you your riches that you need, your honor, and your life. That's exactly what Moses rehearsed to Israel, and that's what was reiterated by Solomon. Now we're at the last pause for this evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
You're not a procrastinator. You have a habit of procrastinating. Big difference. Because if it's a habit, I can teach you to use science to break it. So let's talk a little bit about procrastination. Who in here struggles with procrastination? Yeah, and the rest of you that aren't raising your hand are just procrastinating on doing it, aren't you? I know. You see, I always thought procrastination had to do with the thing I was procrastinating around, right? Like that procrastination has something to do with work. Believe it or not, procrastination has nothing to do with your work. Procrastination is a form of stress relief. Let me explain this. So let's say that you've got some stuff going on in your life, and heck, who doesn't have stuff going on in your life? Maybe you're fighting with your significant other. Maybe mom's or dad's health is failing and it's really, really upsetting you. Maybe you've got some financial stuff. You put too much of your savings into Bitcoin and now that that's crashed, you're stressed out about it, right? And so you go into work, and when you get into work, you got stuff to do. You kind of walk in and you got this big stress ball that subconsciously is hanging over your head. And so you walk in and you sit down and you know you got 13 phone calls you need to make. And you also know that you've been chickening out, you've been making easy calls, and there's a bunch of CIOs or other people that are higher level that you haven't been calling. And so as you sit down to do it, you got the stress on your shoulders, your brain, it starts to go, wait a minute, well, you want me to make a call to somebody that I'm scared to make? Absolutely not. I'm so stressed out about, can we just watch some cat videos for a minute? And next thing you know, an hour's gone by. And then, of course, what do? You beat yourself up. So the only way that you can break this habit, and that's an important word for you to hear, you're not a procrastinator. You have a habit of procrastinating. Big difference. Because if it's a habit, I can teach you to use science to break it. You see, all habits have three parts. There's a trigger. And in the case of procrastination, the trigger is always stress. Then there's a pattern you repeat, and in the case of procrastination, it is to avoid doing something. And then there's a reward. You get a little stress relief. The only way to break a habit, you guys, is not to deal with the triggers. You're never going to get rid of the stress in your life, but you can 100% change your pattern of avoiding work. So next time that you're in a situation where you feel yourself hesitate, you spent way too much time checking out the highlights from last night's scores, what you're going to do is you're going to go, oh, I must be stressed out about something. Acknowledge the stress. Then go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I want you to count to yourself because I want you to interrupt the habit that's stored here, and I want you to awaken your prefrontal cortex. Then I want you to just work, just for 5 minutes. The reason why I want you to only work for 5 minutes is because your problem isn't working. It's the habit of avoiding. I just need you to start. And here's the other cool thing. We know based on research that if we can get you to start, 80% of you are going to keep going.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are looking at being humble and fearing the Lord as being the recipe to having a good life. And we already heard what Israel was rehearsed about it through Moses. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Luke. Chapter 1, and we're going to see how Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, gave her 2 cents or her worth on this. Luke chapter 1, verse 48, listen to what Mary said. Mary said, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, From henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me a great thing, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Listen, my brothers and sisters, he had showed strength with his arm. He had scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he had sent away empty. My brothers and sisters, he had opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Because of humility and the fear of the Lord, Mary is saying, God has come to Israel to fulfill his promise. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that those who keep God's commandments will have both physical and eternal life. Those who won't, the physical life is all you have, my brothers and sisters. If that's all you want, then that's all you will receive. But realize that there is more to this experience than physical life. Okay, that's what I wanted you to get from this instruction. Let's go down to the next instruction. It's the last one of the evening. Turn with me to back to Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 5. And, of course, I'm going to read the instruction to you, and the text will be almost identical. The instruction is, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. And this is how King David put it in the proverb. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that does his soul shall be far from them. And so, of course, David adds a little more to it, that being froward is going to get you in trouble. Now, let's find out, or let's amplify this by going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, and let's see how it happened to come to pass, how the froward got in trouble with God, and they lack what they need, and they have a snare that keeps them. In fact, it has been passed on to us generationally because of Adam and Eve. Let's see what verse 6 to 11 says, and this is Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 to 11, and listen to what happened because of frowardness. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And both of them, their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons for their frowardness. This got them into trouble with God. Listen to what verse 8 says. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, my brothers and sisters, I'm expanding on their own disobedience. Frowardness was in that disobedience. They got themselves in trouble because they listened to what Satan told them. Now listen to what verse 9 says. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told thee that thou were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat of it? Now let's go to verse 17 through 19, and let's see what happened. When you're froward, this is what happens. The thorns and the snares are in your way. Listen to what happened to Adam and what has been brought down to us because of Adam's failure. And unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Listen, my brothers and sisters, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. You're going to have problems for the rest of your life. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So you can see what happened to Adam and Eve, and that is exactly what happens to those who are froward. Now let's go to our New Testament compliment, and we're going to see how today it applies to us through the writings of Paul to Timothy. Turn your Bible sources to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 3 through 5 in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And listen to what Paul tells Timothy about being disobedient to God. If any man teaches otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, nothing, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supporting that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. My brothers and sisters, you want to avoid the snares and thorns that Solomon was talking about in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5. You don't want this frowardness. That is part of being froward, going into that type of disobedience. Okay, now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. This is what I want you to get from this, that troublemakers, avoid them because they are problematic. My brothers and sisters, that's why you have to be very careful, because you could get caught up in calamity just by being cute, if you will. That is how a lot of pranksters put it. They were just fooling around, but fooling around could cause you anxiety and strife and all of those other things that causes a disruption in your life. So this is what I wanted you to get from this instruction. Okay, my brothers and sisters, as I always say at the end, that the host and I are so appreciative that you've joined us this evening and blessed us with your presence and your participation. Continue to encourage us, and we are signing off. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.